In the 16th chapter of Revelation, we have a reference here to an earthquake. In verse 18, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Beloved, we have endured two great disasters this week that just passed. One of them was the coldest period we've had in this century, they tell us. And we had temperatures here in Collingswood 5 below 0. The other was the earthquake that struck last Monday, 4:30 in the morning out in Los Angeles. It lasted less than 30 seconds, but according to the governor, the damage which was done was in the neighborhood of $30 billion. Now, both of these disasters have been the prime news of the week. It closed us down. It closed most of you down. But I looked at it and I saw things there that thrilled me, especially the earthquake. And so I decided that this morning I would bring you another one of these timely messages on the last and greatest earthquake. We're aware of the news every hour of the disaster that came and the people who lost their homes and how the freeways, 5 of them, were torn up and how the city of Los Angeles has been paralyzed. And to think that in less than 30 seconds, God could do $30 billion worth of damage to one little city is quite a spectacle, and it ought to make people stop and realize that God Almighty is in control. Now, the first thing I want to develop for you, because it's essential to the outline of the message that I have for you, that is that this earthquake, which is the greatest and the last, is going to be a literal earthquake. And the key to that is that we are told in this 16th chapter of Revelation that it was greater than any that has been on the earth since men occupied the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so real. So if in this passage that last earthquake is compared to other earthquakes that the earth has experienced, they were all literal. They all happened. And this one's going to be literal. And this one's going to happen. The Bible makes a comparison between this last one and all the others we've had. And in the book of Revelation, we have 6 additional earthquakes in the previous chapters, some of which are going to be very large and they're described. But even this one that we're talking about tonight, the last one, is worse than they are. So we have something here from this 16th chapter which ties God's dealing with the earth to shaking it when he gets ready to do so. Now that means that you and I are dealing with a scripture that is literally interpreted. These aren't something that's symbolic or figurative. We're dealing with the book that tells us these things that are going to happen, and they will happen the way the book says they will. This last one will be the largest, the greatest, the most damaging that the world has ever seen. Now that's the first thing I want to say by way of introduction. The next thing I want to say by way of introduction is that Jesus Christ, in his great last explanation of the end time, Matthew 24, Luke and Mark, did say that in the last days, there would be earthquakes in divers places. That's one of the signs. The disciples, will you kindly tell us when will these things be? And could you give us some of the signs? Well, one of them was that men would depart from the faith and they'd give heed to seducing doctrines and doctrines of devils. Well, we know that and we're dealing with that. And I told you in my prayer that this week we have another one of these big articles where Jesus Christ is supposed to be a homosexual. And these awful, awful attacks that are insulting us and betraying our Lord are coming on us with great frequency. But in that dissertation where they asked him, Lord, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming? And one of the things he said was, there will be earthquakes in divers places. Well, he gave certain indications that those of us who love him and believe him can look at and let them regulate our decisions and our opinions and our conduct. And they do. And so if there are going to be earthquakes in divers places, and they begin to happen. I was interested this week in hearing somebody in Washington, some commission there that deals with earthquakes, and the chairman of it said that earthquakes were coming more frequently. Well, if that's happening, and Jesus said we'd have them in the end time, and I get an official statement about it from Washington, maybe you and I can look at them. And I believe that God intended for us to appreciate the times in which we live and understand what they predict so far as the future is concerned. And these signs, especially this big earthquake we've had that did so much awful damage, ought to speak to the church people who love the Lord and believe the Bible. Now, with those words of introduction, I want to point out to you that this text of ours is in the last chapter that deals with the outpouring of the wrath of God. The outpouring of the wrath of the Lamb. And you can turn back to the very beginning of this section where we have the future described for us. And maybe you better take your Bibles, if you will, and just look at this. The reference which the Lord has here. He says, I'm the Alpha. I started all things. I'm the beginning and I'm the Omega and I'm going to end all things. And that's what we have in Revelation chapter 1. Then we have the seven churches and their messages in 2 and 3. And then we come in here to chapter 4. And we get into chapter 4. We're caught up into heaven and we begin to see what the Almighty God is going to do and is doing. But first, we have the hymns of the redeemed in heaven praising God for creation. Second, in chapter 5, we have the hymns of redemption. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And now we come, beginning with chapter 6, we get the story here of the four horsemen of the apocalypse and what they represent. And we get in then to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, you have in verse 12 this reference. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell. And then down in verse 16, you notice, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us. People were ready to say that this week. And hide us from the place or the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? That's Revelation chapter 6. And you've got the revelation here to the earthquake in one place, and then underlining it, and undergirding it is, of course, the wrath of the Lamb. Now, the rest of the book of Revelation, until you get down to chapter 16, is just a reiterating of the wrath of the Lamb and what that wrath is going to do to mankind and the consequences of that awful wrath that's going to going to fall upon the whole world. And I don't know just how many references we do have to the wrath of the Lamb, but it runs all the way through from here until we get to the end of this awful time of judgment and tribulation, which is described in these various chapters. I can't excuse this terrible ice storm. It's the worst we've ever had. I can't excuse the earthquake. It's 6.6 up at the very top and put all these thousands of people out of their homes. I can't excuse it, except that God is dealing with my country. God is dealing with us here. And those of us who love Him and know Him should understand that this is a part of the hand of His judgment that's falling upon our country. I've said several times, something's going to happen. God's going to do something. Well, He did it this past week. He did it with ice. He did it with shaking up the ground. And we've got to recognize that He did do it. And I think these leaders in our country that are trying to tell us we've got to control the weather, control the atmosphere, and all this sort of thing, ought to stop and realize that in 30 seconds, the Lord shook up the whole area in Southern California to the expense of $30 billion, as the governor said it could reach. Well, if in less than 30 seconds God can add a bill of $30 billion to the debt of this country as we take care of it all, He can even do more than that. And that's what this passage in the book of Revelation tells us. God is going to pour out the wrath of the Lamb, and all these different earthquakes that are mentioned here are a part of the outpouring of God's wrath. We deserve this kind of treatment. And, beloved, I want to tell you, we're going to get more of it. And you and I, who know the Lord and understand these last days, must recognize that what is happening are the things that the Lord told us. Now, before I go any further, I want to tell you that you and I are in a very special place. And we're in a place where we ought to profit from what's happening, so far as our understanding of what is taking place. When Jesus said there'd be earthquakes in divers places, He expected His people to look for earthquakes, and when they did come to pass, and they were in India, and they were in Japan, and they were in Los Angeles, that we were going to say, Lord, You said this would be the case, and it looks to us like maybe what You said is coming true, which means it's one of the signs of His near return. One of the signs of His near return. Now, what I want to develop for you is that you and I, with these signs being promised us, that when they do come to pass and we recognize them, we are in a position very similar to what some of the Old Testament people were at the time. Take the case of Elijah. He went up in a chariot of fire. And apparently God told Elijah that this is going to happen, and He must have told Elisha, who followed him. And Elisha asked Elijah when he asked him, what would you ask from me? He says, well, I want to have a double portion of the power You've had. And Elijah said, well, I can't give it, but if You see Me when I go, then you may get it. And so Elisha stayed right alongside of him all the way, and the students of the theological seminary at Bethel and the other places all went along. Elijah's going to go, and he went down to Jordan River, across the Jordan River. Here came the fire chariot, and up went Elijah, and Elisha saw it. And all the children of Israel had the story that Elisha saw the chariot of fire. My, how they must have thrilled. He saw the chariot of fire. You and I haven't seen a chariot of fire, but we've seen a pretty big earthquake. And we're being told that they're coming more frequently. And these things are something that you and I alone are able to appreciate and understand, and we should do it. You think of some of these other things. Think of crossing the Jordan River. When they got there and Moses was taken from them and Joshua had charge of the remnants that came, and they came to the Jordan River, and here the water was up to the brim. And he said, when your feet touch the water, they will divide. And that's exactly what happened. Well, do you mean to say that all those thousands of children of Israel and the rest of them didn't realize that this wall of water up there on the Jordan River, and they went across on dry land, wasn't something they could talk about? And they did talk about it the rest of their lives. Take the city of Jericho. The events that happened there, and God told Joshua, march your people around every day one time, and on the seventh day, march them around seven times, and then the walls will fall down. Well, it happened. It happened. And furthermore, they could talk about it the rest of their days, which they probably did. But things were predicted, and they came to pass, and people saw them. Earthquakes in the latter days are predicted. We're beginning to witness them, and we people who love the Lord begin to understand what they're saying to us. That Jesus is coming very soon, and that our time is short. No, you and I are in a position where things that are happening, we understand, and they comfort us, and they encourage us, and they seal us. And we know that we have the knowledge of the truth. So these are the earthquakes that we're beginning to get. We'll get more of them. Now what I want you to do is to turn to this 16th chapter, and let's look at it a little more in detail as to what God said would happen in these very last moments. But I've already shown you that the earthquake was literal, and we have to interpret all the other earthquakes that are mentioned here as literal earthquakes. In this 16th chapter, it opens, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The wrath of God. Will you turn back to chapter 15, verse 1? And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. The wrath of God. I think the wrath of God showed its power in Los Angeles. I think the wrath of God showed its power in our three-state area this last week when we had to shut down. Look at verse 19 of chapter 14. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Oh, beloved, the wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God. And expressing that wrath of God is, of course, this great earthquake and the other earthquakes that we have in this tribulation period of the book of Revelation. But notice what we have here. And the first went and poured out his wrath, his vial, upon the earth, and there fell a grievous and noisome sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast. That'll be a nice problem for the health project of the president for everybody. The mark of the beast, a grievous sore, and then they'll have to decide the origin of it and what the remedy is for it, and all your hospitals be working to try to take care of all these people that have been afflicted by this strange kind of disease that seems to have hit them all. But they had taken the mark of the beast, a world economic planning. There you are. Verse 5. Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and washed and shall be, because thou hast judged us. Beloved, the awfulness of sin is manifest in every possible way in our day. Everybody still dies. And the death of men today goes back to the guilt of the death that was pronounced upon Adam and his seed. And the consequences of just not honoring God, not believing God, the consequences are beyond our comprehension. And God is going to be just, and we're going to praise Him because of the wondrous ways that are His. Now we come on down here. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. That's verse 10. His kingdom and his was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon that great river Euphrates. Well, we still call it Euphrates today. And the waters were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. That's mainland China and the rest of them. And I saw the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, now the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, and go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And here we have it, Armageddon. Behold, I come, he says. And he gathered the nations together to a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Isn't it beautiful that they put Hebrew in there? Beloved, I just have to believe that these things are literal. I just have to believe that this earthquake out in California was literal. I just have to believe the one I'm talking about now, the last and the greatest one, will be greater than any that have hit the earth since the beginning of time. And they gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Oh, his judgment. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so great an earthquake and so mighty. Beloved, the nice thing about all of this, that you and I won't suffer these things. This is coming down to the end of the tribulation period. You can't take away from me the beauty and the wonder and the grandeur of not going through the tribulation. Think of these references that I've given you already to the wrath of the Lamb and to the great wrath of God. We pass from death into life. We're no longer condemned. We're no longer to be punished with the ungodly. We're a free people. We're a righteous people, declared so by God, because we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious this book is to us. And God's been pleased to make sure that we understand that the earthquake is literal and the rest of the quakes are literal too. To let us understand that when we're gone, and this great world leader arises on the scene. The United Nations is getting ready for him, I think, right now. They got an army now. But I want you people to recognize that we're dealing here with the outpouring of the frightful wrath of God in judgment against men about us who have rejected Jesus and blasphemed the name of our God. I don't know. I wish maybe we could do something about it. But these men that I've been reading to you, quoting to you, that have put out these recent books saying they're going out of the closet and they want the whole Christian world to see their historical Jesus, these men ought to be dealt with. It's not just enough to people say, "I'm not going to listen to you and I'm not going to support you." These churches in which these so-called scholars operate in their seminaries, these men should be taken and put on trial and put out. The wrath of the Lamb is against them and upon them, and it will come. And you and I have been freed from the guilt and the penalties of sin. We're righteous before God. We've been declared righteous by God because of the righteousness of Christ in our behalf. I cannot tolerate the idea that Jesus' body may have been eaten by dogs. And those who wrote that, maybe they ought to be sent to the dogs or something else, but they ought not to be honored and recognized as some kind of Christian scholars in this last day. They're simply fulfilling for us what the Lord said, many will depart from the faith, and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. My, what language fell from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what they're trying to get out from under by disqualifying all the other things that he's supposed to have been said. But beloved, this earthquake we've had this last week comes right back into this chapter in Genesis, chapter in Revelation, and these many references we have. And God says, I'm going to send an earthquake, and if you think California was bad, and it's going to cost the government, $30 billion, the poor budget of the president's going to be afflicted a little bit by having to pay all these things when the money has to be paid out. When we're gone, beloved, they're going to have hell on earth and deserve it. Because of what they've done to Jesus. Because of how they blasphemed and insulted and desecrated His holy name. Jesus Christ was sent here by the Father to deal with death and lift the curse from upon man who dies because of the sin of Adam. Jesus was sent from heaven, the choice of the Almighty, that the second person lay aside the glory he had with the Father. Go down there to this place of darkness. Go down there where death reigns. Go down there where sin triumphs. Go down there where Satan has his way. Go down there and destroy the works of the devil. Go down there and let people hear this good news that Jesus came from heaven for the purpose of forgiving us of our sins and making us His children and giving us a life that can be lived in His name and by His grace. Beloved, God's given you and me everything we need. I just saw yesterday that two Protestant missionaries down in Colombia were taken captive. They were kidnapped by some of these guerrillas. And I've already contacted the State Department concerning them. But the hatred of missionaries that preach the gospel and the effort to eliminate them is going to increase. But we need more missionaries. We need more couples who say, Lord, I want to get out of this world I'm talking about. I want to spend my time, and these earthquakes are talking to me. These cold snaps are like the which we just had. It's talking to me. And Lord, I want to live for You. I want to serve You. I'd like to stand in the pulpit and preach a sermon like Dr. McIntyre. I just think I've gone back to the days of Elijah. And they saw these things going to come to pass, and then they talked about them. We're living in the last days, and we see these earthquakes taking their place, and here's a big one, and there's going to be some more of them. And then we talk about them, and we say, oh yes, there's this passage in the book of Revelation where the final earthquake will be so awfully devastating that it will surpass any that's ever hit this earth before. And let's let them know that it is the wrath of God that's falling upon them. Oh, beloved, what Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has given to you and me. He's given us pardon. He's given us light. He's given us life. He's given us something worthy to die for and to suffer for. His good name. Jesus has done all these things for us. And let's give Him everything we have and serve Him as we ought to serve Him. Only God could have told us about this last earthquake. He's what's going to make it. Only the Scriptures could carry a report of such devastating consequences upon the human race. And if what we've seen this last week, and we've had the television every day and night and all these things, if that's bad, that's just little peanuts. That's nothing compared to what's going to fall on the people who are remaining here after we're taken up in the rapture and they have their Christ and their great beast, and they have their world economic, their new world order with 666, and they'll be their stamps, and they can buy the economy if they only have it on their forehead or their hand. It's all here. And if the earthquake is literal, the beast is going to be literal. If the earthquake came in judgment upon God, the judgment that God will give to the Antichrist when he's thrown into the bottomless pit, that's real. We're dealing with the things that God has told us will come to pass in our day. And if Elisha could see Elijah go and get his blessing, you and I can see these scriptural passages that tell us. Let's listen to them, and let's recognize that the wrath of God is far more extensive and far more damaging than any of us could possibly conceive or think of. And that's why we want people to come to Christ and be saved. That's why we want missionaries to go and tell them. And that's why we want to make our own witness in our own church, the kind of a church that God gave us, and keep it that way. That's why you and I have everything in the world. Oh, yes, I'm living today. Here's an earthquake. Yeah. My Bible says there'll be one of these days worse than that, whatever was, and you won't have to hear about it. You'll be in the clouds with the redeemed. Beloved, the truth sustains. And this is it. And if Elijah could look at Elijah, and I can look at the earthquake this week and read what I have here in this 16th chapter of Revelation, and God is going to tear the old earth to pieces. I've mentioned it many times lately. You've heard me mention it. And I will continue to mention it. As a result of this last earthquake, the cities of the nations fell. I hope that I can get a chance from the heavens to see what Philadelphia looks like when they get through with all these skyscrapers over there, skyscrapers. It's going to, they said in Los Angeles that the architects have a code and they're adjusting so that these buildings sway and they don't fall over. But this passage says the cities of the nations swell. There's not enough architects in the world to offset this kind of an earthquake where the cities are going to fall. And in these years, from the time that we began to go, I've been to all these different cities. When I went to Australia, there wasn't a skyscraper there. Now Sydney and Melbourne are just full of high rises. That'll be a pile of rubble too. The cities of the nations are going to fall. And what are the people going to do? Blaspheme God. The last thing they should do is blaspheme God. Beloved, do you realize what God did for us when He delivered us from death? Do you realize what He did when He took the curse from off of us and put it on Christ? Do you realize that great transaction that heaven itself arranged for and then accomplished, made possible your presence here today and the fact that you believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, let His hands administer the wrath of God. He'll give judgment. He'll give justice. Let His hands take care of what the book of Revelation says is going to happen to us all. But this is the kind of a message that ties us to the earthquakes that are happening today. This is the kind of a message that ties us, as Jesus said, to those who turned against the Lord and said all these terrible things about our Master. If we don't accept it, we're not going to accept it. We're going to have a church that believes Him and believes everything He says and believes that He's able to take you and me in our feeble way and strengthen us and guide us to be used in His service and for His glory. All right, we'll close our service now by this hymn.
716.
716 it is.
I need
thee every hour, and I hope you'll come back tonight, all of you, because I've got a sermon I think's even better than this one tonight. Thank you.